everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Fired Up, your source for Friday night conservative talk. We are going to talk about some Texas redistricting tonight, and then I've got a whole rash of stories that I want to quickly talk to you about and why they're important, including the EPA, voter rolls, a little bit more news on Trump versus Epstein, Starbucks, you know, the Brown University, just a whole bunch. But the main story tonight is Texas redistricting. You know, it's making national news. The Texas Democrats, well, they've abruptly departed the state legislature and they're holding up in Illinois, and it's to obstruct the redistricting efforts. It's created some massive legal countermeasures by Texas and Governor Abbott, including lawsuits that are aiming to oust them from office, halt external funding, meaning they're kind of being paid by Soros here. They kind of get up and leave. And it's heightening the risk of immediate political repercussions. So I want to get into that and get into that with some depth. But that said, before we go on, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com, that's where you can find this podcast and Fired Up, in my Fired Up California, my cultural podcast, Red, White, and Rude. I love that one. We're going to talk some Howard Stern this weekend. My points on the board. So, you know, you can find everything there at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also follow us, and you're more than likely listening to us on one of these platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. Do not forget to like or give me the thumbs up on this podcast as you watch, and feel free to submit any questions you have. Let me make sure I have that set up. Yes, I do. All right. So let's get into this. I just gave you the topic overview in terms of the Democrats have left the Texas legislature. They're holding up in Illinois. The feds are checking them out, trying to get them back, but there's no really – they haven't commented on that themselves. But deadlines are pressing, and the special session is being special sessions are being disrupted. And these maneuvers, they do expose vulnerabilities in the legislative process in a way that is hurting the Republican cause right now, because this legislative – a session will tip the congressional control toward Republicans in what is a narrow, divided House. However, if there was no gerrymandering, which is what all of this is about, we would actually be up as Republicans as many as 15 seats today, because there is massive gerrymandering in New York, California, Illinois, and other states of that nature. Right now, there's also an impending Supreme Court case on racial factors in map drawing and gerrymandering. And so we're going to see how that plays out. So right now we have a legislature that is looking to initiate some legal action. So just today, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, on behalf of Abbott, filed a lawsuit with the Texas Supreme Court to remove 13 absent Democrats from office. Why? They left the state earlier this week. He's stating, quote, incriminating public statements regarding their refusal to return, unquote. And we know why they're doing it. They want to stop this redistricting. Now, Governor Greg Abbott, who is a Republican and a former Texas Supreme Court justice, he's appointed 6 of the current 9 justices. I love it, because it's always the Democrats who have this edge. So to see that we have the edge somewhere is not only a miracle, because it's so rare, it's kind of fun to see, you know. But he filed a separate lawsuit alleging State House Minority Leader Gene Wu has abandoned his office, and that he's requiring Wu to respond by today with the potential for a special election if successful. Look, the long and short of this is these people were elected to do a job. It should be illegal for these people to flee their jobs. If we flee our jobs, we'd be fired. If we're in the military, we'd be considered AWOL, which could result in a court martial. However, you know, it's do as I say, not as I do. Politicians, they do whatever the hell they want. This has been a tactic that has been done multiple times over and over by Democrats. Paxton also sought a court order to bar a group run by former Democrat Congressman Beto O'Rourke. Beta O'Rourke. Oh, God, is there a man that is more duck with a C than Beto O'Rourke? I mean, my God, that is the epitome of a pajama boy. Anyway, I digress. So passing the seeking the court order to bar Beto O'Rourke from providing financial support to the absent Texas Democrats. Now, this isn't Beto's money. This is his wife's money. He married into money. Let's be clear on Beto. I mean, he just lives up to that name. Anyway, Ken Paxton was on Fox and Friends, and he stated he's trying to get an Illinois court to recognize the civil warrants, to get them back to the state of Texas, hold them in contempt, and if they refuse to come, hopefully put them in jail. Now, here's the problem. I'm talking in Illinois court here. That ain't going to happen. We all know that. If there is not, I mean, talk about activist judges who don't deserve to be on the bench and need to be thrown in jail for their activism, that's Illinois' activist courts. So the Democrat walkout, it started Sunday. And it stalled a 30-day special legislative session. And that was called by Abbott last month to redraw the maps. And again, the redrawing of these maps, the Democrats are pros at this. So, and because they fled, you know, the speaker, Dustin Burrows, I'm not a big fan of this cat either. He announced that there's insufficient attendance. He was happy to announce that. But he did cut off paychecks by requiring an in-person collection and criticized the absence for delaying flood response legislation. See, here's the kicker. When the government shut down, for example, on a national level, what happens is, the mainstream media, Democrats, progressives, they all cry the blues. You're hurting people. You're doing this. You haven't heard not one peep out of the mainstream media or Democrats or leftists about how this is delaying flood response legislation. Because at the end of the day, my friends, they don't care. They don't care. Them, many libertarians, many Green Party, many rhinos, obviously Democrats, all they care is about winning the argument, winning the battle, not helping people. They don't give a rat's tail. As a Latino, they've never cared about us. They view us as the black replacement. They're all over Sydney Sweeney falsely claiming eugenics with her jeans commercial, yet these people, black Americans included, honor the greatest eugenics in modern history, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. It makes no sense. But my point is, these people don't care about you. You're nothing but a pawn, a chess piece for them to use and abuse. And para mi Latinos out there, and for my black friends, my black relatives, those who are black in my family, it's time for us to pull our heads out of our tush and understand that. Look at the policies. Where they result? They result in us staying in the barrios or projects. So with each passing day, Burroughs notes, the political cost is rising, and I think these Texans mean they are in business to make them pay. Again, civil arrest warrants have been issued. Senator John Cornyn is one who claimed the FBI has agreed to track them. Again, the FBI has declined comment, and the Democrats are staying in St. Charles, Illinois. And they're lying. We have security threats. We got bomb threats. Oh, no. I know, but they've had it checked out twice. They lie. I have no proof. But notice when they do something, oh, woe is me, the victim is me. When Republicans get attacked on the baseball field, when Trump's assassinated, well, we need to take a step back and figure out why these people were doing this. Why? You know, these people have been aggrieved. You know? But when fake bomb threats, it's like the end of the world for Democrats. Now, and the police in St. Charles responded to it. Probably some big fat guy with a donut, a Pritzker brother or cousin or something. I'm being facetious here. Oh, man. But anyway, I cracked myself up, people. Anyway, Abbott warned that prolonged absence could lead to an even more GOP-friendly map, meaning y'all want to play this game? Y'all got to come back eventually, and we're going to redraw them even more. I'm okay with that. In fact, he was on the Ruthless podcast and said, quote, if they don't start showing up, I may start expanding, unquote. Again, I'm for this. You know, I disagree with my partner, Big John. When I bring up these type of examples, he goes, well, why are you going to do it just because they're doing that? Because that's the only way it'll stop. You fight fire with fire. Somebody punches you and you don't do nothing. They're going to keep punching you and punching you and punching you. And that's what Democrats have done. They've gone crazy with the gerrymandering. And now Republicans are fighting back. But it's the end of the world when Republicans do it. When Democrats do it, it's about voter integrity, protecting the voters. Again, para mi Latinos and for you Black Americans, go look at their policies. What have they actually given you? Nothing. But go look at their paychecks. How Nancy Pelosi go from a middle-class woman 30 years ago to worth like $140 million. Answer that damn question. Jasmine Crockett living fat and large. AOC living fat and large. Bernie Sanders, millionaires and billionaires. Now it's billionaires because he's a millionaire. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this out, people. The projects were supposed to be temporary. The barrio is supposed to be temporary. Another name for projects. They're permanent now, generational. So it's supposed to be temporary. You're there for a little while. You get back on, you get on your feet. You move out. Go to the suburbs. Become part of America. Instead, we have generations spanned there from the 70s, from when they were built. Look what Democrats have done for you. Now, the Democrats are accusing Abbott and Paxton of a campaign of legal harassment. How's it legal harassment when you're breaking the law? You fled your job. This is why our country's going to hell. People like this, cowards, Democrats who are cowards, who are ducks with a C. And then there's Richard Peña Raymond, 31-year-old duck with a C. I mean, his wife can't wait for him to take off for his legislative session. He's a disgrace and an embarrassment. Now, a constitutional scholar said a member of the state legislature doesn't work for the governor. Well, it doesn't work like that, sir. He's talking about them doing their jobs, and technically any constituent should be able to file that lawsuit. Now, the Democrats, Texas Democrats, held a press conference, rallies. They're raising money off this, which and they're being supported, which, according to Paxton, there's some legal issues here. There's some legal issues. Now, they do acknowledge the limited ability to block map redrawing, but hey, why let something like this go to waste? Raise some money doing this. Now, this isn't new to the Texas Democrats. They did this in 2021. Texas House and Senate held a joint press event at the Washington Plaza to advocate for federal voting rights protection. See, they always advocate for protections, but they're not protecting. They're actually creating more avenues for voter fraud. They want to flood the system with votes to keep them in power. They want to gerrymander their own districts to keep them in power. I mean, that fat man. Remember Jake and the Fat Man? Pritzker and the Fat Man. Pritzker is the Fat Man. God, what a disgraceful-looking, disgusting human being. Oh, don't be fat-shaming. Yeah, I'm fat-shaming. The man's a damn pathetic excuse of a human being. Heart attack waiting to happen. He's supposedly a role model. You don't want your kids to be taught to be fat and nasty like he is. Oh, my God. Dear God. Just him on the toilets. Like, how's he get that done? Now, why did I say his name? Well, he's the worst of the lot with his gerrymandering in Illinois. And he's out there making the rounds. In fact, when he was on the Letterman show, the late show with Stephen Colbert, hey, got to give him some credit here. He asked him. He brought up the map. He said to say, hey, what about this? What's this little schlong thing going right over here? Oh, those are kindergarten kids. Slurping on Colbert. He just disgusts me. As a human being and just as a physical specimen or lack of it. Anyway, The point is Colbert didn't push back. Pritzker knew he wasn't going to push back, and they wonder why their ratings are in the tank. Colbert wanted to get some respect, wanted to get some extra viewers. He should have said, well, hold on. You're accusing these guys. Look at this. What the hell? What the hell, fat man? What the hell? Let's talk about gerrymandering. The term gerrymandering originated in 1812 by Governor Elbridge Gerry. So he signed a bill redrawing state senate districts to benefit his Democratic Republican Party. It's kind of funny. I haven't dug into that party specifically, but it's the Democratic Republican Party. So you can't sit there and say, the Democrats started it. The Republicans started it. No, the Democratic Republican Party started it. And one district resembled a salamander, as depicted in a Boston Gazette cartoon. And that's where the gerrymander term came about. A little history. You always learn a little bit of history here with me. I always tell the other shows, you want to be taken seriously? You want to build your audience? Bring some damn receipts. You leave the audience leaving the show having gone, I did not know that. So gerrymandering has roots in early American politics, practices dating back to the late 1700s. Including Patrick Henry's attempt in 1788 to draw districts to prevent James Madison from winning a congressional seat. And it's evolved through the 19th and 20th centuries. It was used by Democrats to suppress minority votes. Think about that. It was Democrats who abused this to keep the black man from voting. And this is one of the reforms that led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that Democrats fought tooth and nail to not make to avoid from happening, to get a pass. Now, there is a case based off race that is happening, and that will be heard. That is the Louisiana versus Calais. And that's the passage of a map with one black majority district, which led to a district court block and a redraw order. So in essence, what happened here, there are violations based on the totality of the circumstance in local electoral processes. And that builds on the Shaw versus Reno case. So what does that mean? It's using race as the predominant factor in districting. And that is actually subject to legal scrutiny under the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, and it's unconstitutional unless narrowly tailored to a compelling interest such as complying with the Voting Rights Act. This has huge ramifications. It really does. And it depends on how they rule on this and how narrow that ruling is. So this can be an interesting case to watch. The court will decide whether Louisiana's creation of a second majority black congressional district to remedy a Voting Rights Act violation in a prior map, if this new creation is unconstitutional unto itself because of the 14th or 15th Amendments. A lot of legal jargon, but in essence, they gerrymandered to create another black district to coalesce and create another congressional Democrat voting bloc there. And that will be heard in. And Clarence Thomas already has a few words about that. He emphasized in a statement, quote, the Constitution is supreme over statutes and no intervening developments will change that, advocating to resolve the constitutional brief promptly. There's a whole lot more on that, but all this is coming from a 2019 ruling, Rucho versus Common Cause, and the Supreme Court held that federal courts cannot intervene in cases of partisan gerrymandering. In essence, what they said is this is best left to the states and Congress, not the courts. However, racial gerrymandering remains prohibited under the Voting Rights Act and the 14th and 15th Amendments. So in essence, they're saying it's best left to Congress and the states. But this one here, there's an issue with the 14th and 15th Amendments, so we will hear it. So if they're going to intervene here, so this could create other constitutional provisions. And look, everybody acknowledges that without federal reform, states are going to keep doing this. In cases like Texas, they're highlighting it because of what Democrats, but all they're doing is opening the door to California and New York, and especially Illinois having done it blatantly. So that's what I kind of like about this story is what we're seeing is the fact that it's exposing what Democrats have done. And because of new media, because of the slow death of mainstream media, our side is finally, our story and our points are finally making the light. But Republicans got to get better. They got to get better. When they agree to go on some of these shows, they need to bring it up. Democrats do. And they need to push back. And Democrats are pushing back. Governor Newsom wants to break the Constitution and completely gerrymander. And this is terrible, but this could force SCOTUS to take action in some form. You're going to have to get creative, but it could force them because it's gerrymandering for power purposes. And it's abusing what the Constitution was doing. So I'm not a lawyer, but I was told that, yeah, anything can be brought up creatively. And if it gets so bad, maybe they do hear it. Now, why do I say that? So Democrat-led gerrymandering include Illinois, 14-3 congressional seat Dem versus GOP, despite only a 55% Democrat voting share. In New York, 19-7 Dem favorites over GOP. And they wanted to make it even worse, but a 2022 map was struck down by the courts. California, 40-12. And again, they want more aggressive redraws. Now, this will all go to court, will not be solved for years. These guys will be out of power. Maryland, 7-1. Massachusetts, 9-0. New Jersey, 10-2. Oregon, 5-1. So how does this work? So you have a Democrat-controlled state. The voter split leans Democrat at approximately – I'm talking Illinois. I apologize. So it's about 55-57% Democrat to 40-45% Republican. And that's based off of recent presidential elections. Yet Democrats hold 14 of 17 congressional seats, 82%, with Republicans just holding 3. How does that happen? Through gerrymandering. They pack Republican voters into a few heavily GOP districts, which limits us in other districts. And then they crack us across others, which dilutes our influence. So, we can break this district up. This should be a this should be a district here, but it leans too heavily Republican. Well, if we create the congressional district this way, we can split up all those Republicans and make them the minority voice in newly redrawn Democrat districts. That's where the term cracking comes in. And Fat Man Pritzker, he's indicated he's willing to make it even worse. See, this is why I'm thinking SCOTUS has to get involved. So it's a bad four gerrymandering. Well, that has to end from both parties. Republicans do it. I just didn't mention focusing on Democrats here. They just don't do it as badly as Democrats. You know? I mean, 9-5 in Georgia. But the point is, they do it too. They do it too. So what can be done? Well, maybe implement independent redistricting commissions. But we have that here in California. It's miserably failed because they're politically appointed people. So I think what we need is an outside source, maybe at the federal government, from a bipartisan group that just looks at the numbers. Or better yet, we live in an era of algorithms and computer and AI. They could actually draw very fair districts without any side putting in their biases. And I think that will eventually be the only answer we move to. I think that is the answer. There's proportional representation where seats are allocated based on statewide voting shares rather than winner take all. And that reduces the incentive to manipulate boundaries. So what that means is, proportional representation assigns legislative seats to political parties in proportion to their share of the total statewide vote. So if a party gets 40% of votes, it gets about 40% of seats. And that replaces the single member districts where winner takes all. And that discourages gerrymandering. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure I like that because we have more than two parties. But I guess that could maybe help their parties. Go get, you get one congressional district. Yeah. You know, state level reforms via ballot initiatives or legislation to enforce transparency. And again, my point, the algorithms, getting AI algorithms to get in there. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to keep fighting for nationwide rules here because the states are clearly abusing their powers. And if the Supreme Court keeps staying out of it, we're not really going to have real fixes. I think that one and only solution that is now possible is using algorithms in conjunction with some powerful AI that can rebuild all these congressional districts based off of neutral analysis. But will it happen? Probably not. So, these escalating legal battles in Texas underscore a need for accountability among all lawmakers in every state who abandon duties. Why? Because they don't want to see congressional power reshape. They don't want to see the future take place. They want to keep their power and they don't want that to change, period. So they're willing to break the law. They're willing to abuse their power. And I got to be honest, the Republican Party, you need to go to these blue districts and campaign. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose races, but you will turn that from a deep blue to eventually a purple to hopefully a red. How do you think California became a deep blue state? They kept working it, working it, working it. Took over, and then Republicans here quit. It's up to us, the constituent, to pressure and prioritize constitutional clarity. All right, let's move on here. The Department of Justice reviews voter rolls in swing states amid election integrity push. So the Department of Justice is inspecting voter registration lists. I did a short. They're doing that in North Carolina. Approximately 64,000 votes may have been illegally made that weren't properly registered. Voter fraud. Now, they're doing this in key battleground states to remove ineligible voters to avoid voter fraud, which we all know happened. It just, as we learned, once a vote is in the system, you can't get it out. So the goal of the Democrats with all these illegal votes is to get them out. I mean, to get them in the system because they can't be taken out. Now, this voter roll inspection is coming from March 2025 executive order. Now, the DOJ just sent letters to officials in Minnesota, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. And they're demanding data on the processes to identify and cancel registrations of felons, deceased individuals, non-residents, and non-citizens. It's not just illegals. It's just anybody who shouldn't be voting. There are people who move 2-3 times, and then they eventually get 2-3 ballots. Their names are slightly tweaked. I saw that with my father. My father, it's Edmundo del Pilar Soto. I remember going to get the mail. He'd get Edmundo del Pilar. Edmundo Soto, Edmundo del Pilar Soto, Edmundo Pilar Soto, Edmundo del Pilar. You know, he'd get 5 or 6 in the same mail. And that happens with ballots. I got an extra ballot once. I called it. I said, oh, just a mistake. It was 2 different ballots I had. And I saw where the mistake was made. I had gone from independent to Republican. I got one from independent. And that, it was the ballot. They sent you like a pre-ballot looking at all the issues, etc. But still, that should not have happened. Now, Harmeet Dhillon, she announced the DOJ's commitment to enforcing these federal laws, and she's a woman with the power, and she's using it. Now, critics always say, no, why are you doing this? Are you doing this causing trouble to make the next election where people dispute it? They sat there and said George Bush did not win in 2000. They said he didn't win in 2004. Hillary Clinton and others said Trump didn't win in 2016. Why is it that Democrats can sit there and say, and question the integrity of every election. But when Trump or Republican does it, they're destroying the Constitution. It makes no sense. Clean and fair elections require voter ID, period. And single-day voting is a must necessity. Why? It maintains a chain of custody. Mail-in ballots enable fraud risk. In Michigan, a Chinese national was charged with illegal voting in 2024. But when asked about the ballot, well, no, it's still counted because of anonymity and it's in the system. We don't know how to pull it out. Thus, validating and proving my point. Democrats want to get the ballots into the system because you can't pull them out. In California, GOP candidates, we lead on election night. But after mail-in count, the Democrats pull out a squeaker. And it's Democrats who oversee most, I'd say over 90% of the registrar's offices where they do the counting. Battleground states like Pennsylvania and Nevada, they don't have strict voter ID. They may, yeah, you can show up, but if you don't have it, no big deal. Fill this out. And the vote gets into the system. As Stalin noted, quote, what is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes and how, unquote. The Department of Justice probes New York AG Letitia James for rights deprivation in Trump fraud case. So the DOJ has opened a criminal investigation into who I see as an actual criminal, though it hasn't been proven. That's just my belief. You know, whether she's proven or not, she's a thief, a thug. How come you calling her a thug? She's black. I call everybody who's a vile, evil person a thug. I got chastised once in Panama because I caught one of my cousins, you know, my cousin's kid. What do you mean, little thug? Oh, why you got to say that to him? Anyway, they opened a criminal investigation into her to focus on whether her office violated Trump's constitutional rights through its civil fraud and lawsuits. And more than likely, they did. It was a political sham, political persecution. Even Democrat constitutional lawyers and lawyers were saying, yeah, man, they have to get him. Yeah. So prosecutors, federal prosecutors in Albany have convened a grand jury and issued subpoena to James. Good, good. And it's probing her 2018 campaign vows to target Trump and the 2022 civil lawsuit, where he allegedly overstated asset values for loans, which was that was political persecution. Even the bank came back. No, he took out the loan, he paid it. Mar-a-Lago, yeah, that's worth $20 billion or whatever it was. And Letitia, no, that's only worth $6 million, you know, whatever. I mean, it was political persecution at its grandest. Yeah. And this judge, Arthur Engoron, I can't say the word. But he was another bought and paid for disgusting vile. When he leaves us to begin his next journey, Mother Nature and Mother Earth will be much better for it. Look, why am I like this? Easy. The public trust in courts and law enforcement requires impartiality. We've had nothing but eroded confidence in the courts since at least the turn of the century. Why? Remember the Florida recount? Partisan rulings is what kept that going. The Florida Supreme Court was an activist, leftist, biased, corrupt court. And all those fools are probably gone with their next journey, and they're vile, evil human beings. So they're probably going, damn, it's warm in here. Yeah, I said it. It took the Supreme Court to sit there and overturn their nonsense. And before y'all go on, Gore cherry pick which recount counties you want to recount, all heavily Democrat. We'll never forget the Chad. Remember the Chad? Looks up, goes, didn't vote for president, but voted for a Democrat congressman and a Democrat AG or senator or some nonsense like that. So he meant this voter meant to vote for Gore. So we're counting that as a Gore vote. And I was told firsthand by somebody involved in the recount that at that point they realized they had to stop the recount because it wasn't about anything except one thing for Democrats, getting as many votes into the system. I mean, so we're going back to at least the turn of the century. Then you have cases like Trump's political prosecutions. They weaponized the DOJ. They weaponized the AG's office in various states. We need neutrality. As a little guy, the courts are our last hope. And it's becoming next to impossible. And that's why it's important who you elect. Because you may be okay with it today, but tomorrow they'll prosecute your ass. FBI whistleblower explains Trump's Epstein file mentioned. So this hasn't made the mainstream media. It's been flying under the radar. I'm not sure why. I didn't look deep into it. I saw a story, caught my eye. I wanted to get in here. But FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin, he disclosed the non-incriminating context for Trump's name appearing in Epstein's document. In 2006, Epstein, angry over his own legal handling, cited Trump and others as receiving better treatment. Well, Trump and others weren't acting like pedophiles and sleeping with and taking advantage of underage girls, Jeffrey. And no, don't rest in peace. Burn in hell. So that's how Epstein mentioned him. He's like, Trump and others were receiving better treatment. He was complaining. So there's no evidence, he says, of Trump's wrongdoing. I'll take it with a grain of salt. Now I see why it wasn't. I forgot. But I just put it in my notes. Alex Jones, thus no coverage. But hey, Alex Jones got the Twin Towers hit correct and has gotten others spot on. The guy's a showman, though. He, for every correct piece of evidence he presents, there's 10 that just sound out of this world nut job. But at the end of the day, that is what he is saying, that Jeffrey Epstein was complaining that Trump was getting better treatment. My take, so while the Epstein files, or this may exonerate Trump, look, it doesn't matter. The full truth will never emerge. Never emerge. The Epstein files has jumped the shark and gone the way of JFK's brain. Yes, his brain was taken a few days afterwards. Nobody knows who has it. There's a brain in Dr. Frankenstein's lab that's not abnormal. It's JFK. The point being, we'll never know the truth. This stuff happened in the 90s, and right around 2007, 8, 9, 10, it resurfaced. This stuff has been hidden or destroyed. Case in point, look. There was a dump of over 80,000 JFK files in March. I think it was March, but earlier this year. Do we know who shot and killed JFK? No. It became even more diluted. Now with the Mossad involved. Papers showing ties to Russia and Oswald all the way down to Mexico. I mean, it just become more convoluted. But you know what is real? What we can actually focus on? Real-time child exploitation. Like ICE rescuing about 14 migrant kids from forced labor last month. A sexual predator was living in that encampment with them. They were working in slave-like conditions. They were probably used. They were probably used as sexual pieces of meat, along with having to work in decrepit conditions in the field. And the owner of that farm, Newsom donor ally. Then we found out there were over 65,000 reports to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. None resolved. Well, I don't say none, maybe some. But that's been ignored by the mainstream media. As well as MAGA influencers. Why, look, people, I'm sorry. I follow and I love a lot of these guys and girls. But they make big checks at the end of each month when you have a million or so followers with engagement. It's easier and better for them to engage with Epstein nonsense than to actually talk about the kids today. And yet, at the same time, they're professing, got to save the kids. Do they really? Do they really want to save the kids? $65,000. Media Matters. Hey, good news. Media Matters is furious over the massive legal bills from the Mark Elias firm. And that's been brought about by their Elon Musk lawsuit. This is another one that's flown under the radar. This one here is a couple weeks old. I'll admit, I've been holding this one in the queue, just running out of time. But they were hit with a $15 million in legal costs tied to Elon Musk's 2023 defamation suit. And they're upset. They're upset that they don't have the money to pay. They're upset that the Elias firm is charging them that much. I guess at one point they had like $4 million in unpaid. Now it's like $2.3 million. They will get a $2.3 million discount if they pay within a week. This is odd news. Old news is February. I don't know where they stand. But a few weeks ago, I saw a report stating they're on the verge of collapse financially. Good. This Media Matters. Their sole job is to do hit pieces that are illegitimate, or half-truths, or just flat-out false narratives. And they hide behind the Sullivan Act to protect themselves, meaning it's so tough to sue and win. But because of Elon, they may be going down. So Elon Musk is a rare target with resources and reach. He may be the most unpopular political figure right now per poll earlier this week, but he's fighting back. And they can't handle it, and they are losing and bleeding money. All right. I've got a whole bunch of other stories that I'll save here for next week. But at the end of the day, the news is hitting us hard and fast right now, people. And we, as conservatives, must stay on top of it. We must understand why we're fighting this fight. We're fighting this fight to change America. Our values have gone to crap. I'm a Latino. I grew up as a privileged American citizen. And I say privileged because it's a rare thing to be an American citizen with 350 million of us, but there's, what, 8, 9 billion in the world? And we have rights. We have no clue and understand how special they are. Because you live in the basement. You don't get out. I know somebody 20 years. Basement. Doesn't get out. And it's not just one person. I know many people like that. You have the academia. Here's another one I know a lot of people. You have those who've never traveled. Rare travel. I'll go back to my hometown. I get shocked at how many don't travel. So they have a limited worldview in terms of the rights we have and that are special that nobody else around has them. Amy Chua, the Tiger Mom, talked about how nations and empires get destroyed from within. And that's what's happening. The world doesn't work in a black and white coloring book style system. Countries take advantage of our laws and they abuse them. And we have to keep fighting back illegal aliens. We want to help humans, but we got to take care of Americans. And there's a proper way to get in. H-1B visas. If we don't have the job resource, or we don't have the Americans to fill those jobs, then yes, let's bring foreign workers in. But right now, 45% of those workers are entry-level jobs. So we have to stay on top of our game here. We have to keep battling. And I had TDS in 2015. 2016, right around February, I became one of Trump's staunchest allies, well, supporters. And to this day, I'm battling everybody, educating them, looking at the receipts, the economy, the unemployment rate, the regulations being cut, how it's impacting us. Democrats, they want to keep the status quo. We must fight against that. Because it's not good will overcome evil. That's not how it works. You have to fight to make that happen. And that's what I'm here for every week with you guys, my friends. I hope you enjoy the show. Make sure you like and share this show. Make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. And follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Rumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar for Fired Up, your source for Friday Night Conservative Talk. Until next week, my friends, stay safe and talk soon.